Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, September 18th, 2014, and with me today I have my resident brilliant people yet troublemakers at the same time, and I say that with love. How are you, Kelly Gaumont?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you, John Martellaro?
Absolutely, the guru troublemaker. Just call me that.
I think that's what we're going to put on your business cards next time we get Ooh. For you.
Good morning, wizard.
How do, guru?
You know, it's just like a warm, fuzzy feeling when I see you guys get together like that.
Well, give us a minute. We haven't run off with the show yet.
That's true. The day is young. Huh. And I just realized there's a likelihood everyone can hear a ringing in the background. This is one of the side effects of having so many different things set up in iOS 8 for testing. My iPhone started ringing, and my iPad mini is ringing as well.
Oh.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's a whole thing now where you can use your iPad or your Mac, if you're running Yosemite, as a remote phone to answer and place calls through your iPhone. So my iPhone started ringing, and my iPad mini, which is sitting just off to the side over here, started ringing as well.
It is not mute. Boy. Oh, boy.
So
I'm going to have to talk about how to squash that stuff. I can't – I like peace and quiet when I'm writing.
If both of them are ringing and you're getting a new iPhone, how are you going to tell which one's your phone and which one's your mini?
Well, I have a cover on the mini. I won't on the iPhone.
So I would like to point out that as cool as that feature is, the proximity stuff is something that I have been wishing for probably, I want to say, since iOS 6, when multiple devices and multiple screens started being able to get, you know, messages, for example, things like that. Jeff is a victim of this because Jeff was the one who went on Twitter and said, thanks to the fact that I can get messages everywhere, every time someone texts me, my office sounds like a casino.
Yep.
And so I occasionally take to texting Jeff and saying, you win, in all caps, just because I know a time zone away his office is going off left and right. I wish that if they were close enough, you know, if I have my iPad and my iPhone and my laptop all in the same place and I'm using my laptop and the other two screens are asleep and I get a message, I wish the only place I got notified, like audibly notified, was on my computer, if that's the screen that I'm using.
I was hoping for that as well, but
That to me is a continuity feature.
Yeah, that would be an awesome continuity feature. But as it stands, okay, so Kelly, if you had been up at 1 in the morning Denver time last Friday, mm-hmm. when I was ordering my iPhone 6, mm-hmm. and you had sent me a text message, mm-hmm. it would have been truly the whole casino effect, because I had three computers, two iPads, and an iPhone all fired up and running while I tried to get my order to go through. So if you had sent a text, it would have given me a massive bling across all those devices, and it would have been glorious.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Hey, so on this whole iOS 8 thing, since that's kind of the path it seems we're going down, I wanted to talk a little bit about this whole thing with health as part of iOS 8, but the fact that HealthKit, which is the underlying structure that allows third-party mm-hmm. apps and hardware devices connect into a single point and then feed that information into the health app. There's a bug in that, and this information comes from Apple. We don't know what the bug is, but there's a bug in that. And apparently it's a big enough bug that everyone that tried to roll out a HealthKit-compatible application on Wednesday, when iOS 8 rolled out, mm-hmm. those all got pulled. And Apple isn't allowing any HealthKit-related stuff to happen until what they're saying will be the end of the month when they get a fix out.
Okay.
I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for this because, you know, we kind of limped through 2014 with this expectation that there would be this big stuff in the fall. And then at the last minute, Apple finds a serious bug. I'm not ready to give them a free ride on this one.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, John. I have mixed emotions about iOS 8. It's almost like a dysfunctional relationship for me because I'm loving it and I'm so glad that I have it, despite the fact that it feels like it's treating me poorly and isn't giving me what it promised.
How does it treat you poorly, Jeff? Because I know you've written an exhaustive review on iOS 8. How is it doing that?
Okay, so as far as performance goes, I'm not having performance issues, but treating me poorly in that there are these features that we were expecting to have available to us on launch day, and they aren't there, and that includes parts of continuity, and we can't use iCloud Drive, and then a feature that I'm having just no end of fits with is AirDrop.
Right.
It is not functioning reliably for me at all. And so we don't have any HomeKit stuff out that I've been able to find. And now HealthKit has been really shut down until next month or the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
The whole unified SMS messaging thing, while that's not a huge deal, that it's not fully functional yet. Because you need Yosemite to truly take advantage of that. That's been shut down and is now a beta feature again. And so we just have all these different things where it feels like Apple said, okay, what can we put together to make the operation or the operating system functional enough so we can roll it out in time for the iPhone 6 launch? Mm-hmm. And then we'll just fix everything later.
Yeah, 8.1.
Well, and here's the thing to me that's sort of interesting about this, and this is why I'm in the same boat as you guys, because I'm less likely to just sort of shrug this off, is because it was Iowa. The way I understand this, please let me know if this is mistaken, but this is, to the best of my knowledge, this is what happened. iOS 8 Beta 5 was released on August 4th. Well over a month before the launch. So before even the announcement, let alone the actual release date. So what I was told was that beta 5 is what went to Golden Master, which means that's what they're shipping people as of yesterday.
I don't think that's accurate. I think that beta 5 and the Golden Master are very, very similar.
Okay.
But I think there are some differences.
Okay, I was told by a couple of people that, yeah, Beta 5 is what went GM, and I know a number of people who expressed first surprise and then concern over this because it felt unfinished. It felt like there wasn't a lot of polish there. It felt like it had a whole, like, it was still very beta-y software to be handing out to people.
And see, and this is where the dysfunctional part of my relationship with iOS 8 comes in, because we have third-party keyboards, and oh my God, they work great, and we have all of this new integration with Notification Center, and it works really well, and we have the third-party extension, so we can do stuff like use 1Password system-wide, and it works, and so there's these really cool things, and holy crap, the camera app. If I could date the camera app, I would. I mean, I went to buy this flowers. There's some amazingly wonderful features in here, mm-hmm. and then we have the other side of it where we have stuff that's just not there or feels like it wasn't finished before it was rolled out.
The only thing that keeps me from being 100%. Really, Apple, really about this is that we don't know what the bug is, and we don't know enough of the information to know if it was time related or if there was something else that was going on that perhaps for whatever reason, even in the best circumstances, Apple wouldn't have been aware of until yesterday. So while I do applaud them for, hey, we found this and we're yanking everything down forthwith, which is pretty impressive, you know, I'm glad that they're taking that action. I wish we had a little bit more transparency into it right now because it's not looking good. Because we get the same batch of complaints from people. There were articles yesterday about don't put it on your 4S because it'll make your 4S terrible, but that's not necessarily true. We had all the people who complained because they had 16 gig devices and it was it needed 5 gigabytes of space on your device.
Remind me to talk about that. Remind me to mention that.
To do the over-the-air update.
Let's just do it right now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at it on my iPhone 5S and it says, this update cannot be installed because it requires at least 5.8 gigabytes of storage. Uh-huh. You can make more storage available by deleting items in the usage settings. Uh-huh. How is it that it doesn't say you can also use iTunes with a direct connect? Why doesn't it say that? I mean, because everybody who reads that's going to go, oh no, I'm going to have to delete all my music and half my movies in order to install iOS 8. And then they find out later with Palm, you know, Facepalm, oh, I could have done iTunes and not deleted all that stuff.
Well, that's why I did write that up yesterday.
As yeah, I know.
But I think it's because it's probably...
Why isn't it in the note in the software update?
It's probably a setting. Like if you're set for automatic over-the-air updates, it assumes you want all the over-the-air updates. Oh, I think that's why.
Nonsense.
Because if
you
plug it in...
Grumble.
Okay, but let me tell you this. I plug into iTunes on a regular basis and back up to my computer. So when I do that, when I did that yesterday to walk through the process with my iPad, to walk through my process for the iOS 8 upgrade, when I plugged it in, it said there is a new version available for your iPad. Do you want to download it and install it? So it was the same set of prompts, and it doesn't tell me, you know, you could just do this over the air, dummy. Like it doesn't tell me about the other option either. So I think it's just because you're set up that way that that's why that's what it's telling you.
So there's an option that I haven't seen that says I prefer over the air updates?
I think you can disable automatic updates and then it turns that off for you.
Automatic updates applies to apps, not to the OS upgrade.
No, I think there's a place in the system for that. Now we'll have to dig into this.
We'll have
to dig
into that. I don't think that. Yeah. I haven't seen that.
So, Jeff, now you have to have both of us on tomorrow to explain what happened when we figured this out.
Great. So we already know what we're talking about tomorrow. Awesome. That makes my job easier.
Yay.
So what I'm seeing here is a common theme, which is iOS 8 has some great stuff, but there's also some things that are frustrating about this operating system release.
Certainly.
But the bottom line is go ahead and update, right? I mean, the benefits are worse than the benefits are worth the disadvantages.
Yeah, and
if you have the right thing.
Yeah, I think iOS 8 is a really great update. And I'm glad that I'm running it on two of my iOS devices. The only reason I haven't updated my iPad Air is solely so that if I need to have an iOS 7 screenshot in the next day or two, I have a device where I can actually do that. Mm-hmm. But once I'm sure I don't need those screenshots, I'm taking the iPad Air up to iOS 8, and I will do it gladly.
Yeah, we'll keep the iPad Mini on iOS 7 for a while, too, in case anybody needs it.
Okay, thank you for taking one for the team like that.
I will point out that if you're listening at home, for people playing along at home, as I like to say, if you have a device that is not the latest, you don't have a 6 in the mail, which you probably just only got a shipping notice for this morning. We do have a piece on the site that I wrote, full disclosure, I wrote it, about which devices, all of the devices that are eligible for iOS 8 and whether or not you should upgrade. And it's just a little bit of information to make you a little bit better informed. Lots of people jump into it anyway. And this is the kind of thing where you can sit down with this and look for your phone or look for your iPad and see what's there and then decide for yourself, because there are things that you're going to miss out on if you don't have a 4-inch screen. There are things you're going to miss out on if you don't have a relatively recent iPad. So make sure that you know what you're getting into. Don't just do it because you want to clear the badge on the settings icon.
Kelly, isn't this a bit of a sea change, sort of, in the sense that we didn't really worry about that too much before? I know I was handling a friend's iPhone a couple of months ago and they were running iOS 4.
Wow.
You know, on a 3GS, I think. Mm-hmm. And we never, my recollection is that we never really worried about that too much. When a new operating system came out for the phone, you just put it on there with some limitations and issues. But this seems to me kind of stands out in my mind where you really have to focus for the first time on whether you really want to go to 8. Do you feel that way?
I do not, because it wasn't until 6 that we had phones that were old enough that Apple was having to draw a line. And then the way they drew that line was there are some where you absolutely can't install it no matter what. And then there were some where you could install it, but some of the stuff that it would do for you on the newer models wouldn't work on the older models because they just didn't build in that functionality so that it would run at a reasonable speed on that older device. I don't remember. I honestly don't remember with 5. But I know with 6, there were certain things that were sort of a trade-off if you were installing it on an older phone. And then also with 7 and 8, it was, whatever the lowest level, the entry-level model was that would run it, the oldest phone. Once you put it on there, that's great. But keep in mind that some of the stuff that you think you're going to get that people have been talking about with iOS 8 that's really exciting, you're not going to get.
I was grumbling to my wife yesterday. I said, "Oh, we're going to have to sell our iPad Mini."
because
get a
of
new
me.
One. Get a new one. Yeah.
First world problems.
Yeah. Well, it was because the Mini is less horsepower than a 5. It may be more than a 4S, but it's less than an iPhone 5.
Now, for everyone that has an iPad Mini, not the Retina iPad Mini, mm-hmm. That's what I have, the first generation iPad Mini. iOS 8 runs fine on it. There are occasionally times when I have experienced where the screen wouldn't rotate immediately and mm-hmm. the keyboard wouldn't appear immediately. But I haven't been running the Gold Master on this iPad long enough yet to know if that was an issue with betas or if it's if it's just a performance issue in general. So take that for whatever it's worth.
Yep. Well, and what you're going to miss out on is stuff that nobody has yet, basically. When you are on the lower end of the upgradable models, basically what you're going to miss out on is continuity and all the cool handoff sort of stuff that we saw demoed at WWDC earlier this year between iOS 8 and Yosemite. So if you're running the beta of Yosemite, you may have access to some of this stuff, but again, beta. And we've seen how beta iOS 8 is, so it may not work for you very well at all. But if one of the things that has made you excited about installing this on your device in anticipation of Yosemite coming out, so that then you can do all of this stuff with continuity and handoff, you know, the features aren't going to be there for people on older devices. An iPad 2 won't do it. The iPhone 4S won't do it. So some of that stuff, if it's really important to you, then you're going to be disappointed. Now, if you're somebody who has a couple of iOS devices and you're not a Mac user, so I don't know how many of those there are, but in my world, it's basically Mr. Kelly, and that's it. he's not going to notice that he doesn't have any of the continuity stuff, because from iOS to iOS, that stuff is going to work pretty well. He's not going to have a problem with it not being in Yosemite.
I think the jury's out still on continuity. I know you focused on that a lot, but my initial reaction to continuity was that it's out of the gate, not something people need to be really concerned about.
No, nobody's concerned about it, but a lot of people are excited about it because it makes everything work together so much better.
Right. So we're out of time. And I had really wanted to offer up some iOS 8 tips today. But we just don't have time. So,
we could do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to do one really fast. There is an app in iOS 8 called Tips. And about once a week, it will push a new tip to you. And it's been seeding for some time during the beta process. So if you installed iOS 8 yesterday, go find the Tips app. And you can open it and find a variety of things in there that you can check out.
So Apple gives us endless things to write about. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Thank you for that tip. Okay, and then everyone tune in tomorrow and we'll offer up some iOS 8 tips for you.
Indeed.
Even though we did have some griping today, iOS 8 really is a pretty impressive upgrade and overall I'm really happy with it. So Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course.
And John, thank you for joining me too.
It's a pleasure. See you tomorrow, Wizard.
Ta-ta, guru.
You guys are so cute.